love to have a personal word with me, and I also would love to have a personal word with everyone. But you know, I'm here as the. I try to be the master of ceremonies. It's not easy. Such a enlivened, excited crowd. But I feel when we want to associate with each other, it is best done when we leave, when we don't just say, how are you, how is the weather, how is your health, from where did you come, where did you go, but when we can really address a subject that is important to all of us. And I knew that some of you would be very young. I knew that some of you would be a little elderly. So I tried to prepare a seminar for all of you to have association with all of you in this way. And I hope you will be satisfied with me and make best use of your staying here, that is, putting the everything aside on the parking place of life and engaging fully with the subject matter. See, there's a longing in the human soul, a longing to be truly on his own or her own path. It's a quiet calling in us. It's a longing to live a life where we can deeply be true to ourselves. And I'm not speaking of a desire for self-expression, like I want to paint, I want to sing. I'm speaking of a life where you're free from the expectations of others and perhaps also free from the story which the world tells you, this is how you have to be. This search for the authentic self is looking for something that is very, in English you would say, primal, almost sacred. It's the deepest yearning of ourselves to know ourselves fully and to live according to what we feel is right for us. It's ultimately a longing of the soul for the, I always call it the one relationship. We have many relationships to this person, to our friends, but there is this one relationship that perhaps still is vacant, that is empty. To live authentically means also to live live a life beyond the rules and the expectations of society, even the ISKCON society. Do you know this? Even if you succeed by all the standards which the society puts in you, holds up before you, you still feel a hollowness inside. My dear devotees, I'm not talking about not following the GBC. I'm not talking about not following expectations. We have to organize our society according to our common agreements. But I'm really talking about being true to yourself at the same time. If you don't address that hollowness inside, which yearns to be filled, then you are not fulfilling your prime necessity. To not be authentic, to be authentic is not just a luxury which we have. It's the necessity of our life. It means to walk on the path of your Dharma and to express your Dharma in the uniqueness that was given to you by Krishna, in that very special life, and in this way, really do a contribution to society. Okay, so we are talking about something deep here, right? let's make it a little bit more simpler and break it down. I would like to start with a quotation by your own Mark Twain. Who of you has read Mark Twain? Not so many of you read Hare Krishna books and comics, I know. He is an author, and we read him as in Germany. He said, to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. Okay, this authenticity where you live like you are, what is the definition of this authenticity? Well, authenticity is the quality of being real or true to yourself and not being a copy of someone else. I know when I was a teenager, I tried to be like a particular pop star who was very famous at that time, and I failed. When I became a devotee, I tried to be exactly like that other success devotee, and I failed. You were born an original. This is what Keshava Maharaj always said. Why die as a copy? So it means, authenticity means to be genuine and true to one's own personality, to one's own spirit or one's own character, not a copy of someone else. You don't need to copy the hairstyle of someone else, the saris dress, the dhoti dress, the job, and so on. Because Krishna wants you and not someone else when he deals with you. What is the difficulty? Why do people find it so hard to just be themselves? First is, I think, one doesn't know who one is. One doesn't know how one should authentically live. How one should portray one's true nature to the world. And one doesn't know what is one's true path. Just no idea. I don't know. I could be a musician. I could be a home person. I could be a dishwasher. I could be a leader. One is in ignorance. The other is, one is sometimes afraid to disappoint the expectations which people have, cultural, social, and so on. I remember when I was a young boy, I had a free pass to go to all the theater performances in town which I liked. And as a young person, I was dressed in jeans. I was not particularly convinced that the material society and their expectations had it all together. And I do remember, because I came from this well-to-do family, I went one day into this Thalia theater. That's the most prestigious theater. So in the intermission, we could leave the theater and, buy some water or some snacks and so on. And I remember going out into the intermission section and meeting a group of four elderly, very wealthy and rich people. And they looked at me and they disapproved. They disapproved my dress. I didn't have a tilak at that time. I was not yet a devotee. They disapproved my age. I was too young in their opinion. They just thought, if you want to go to this theater, you have to dress like us in that, you know, suit and tie. You have to be like us. You have to be rich like us. Otherwise, we disapprove you. So I was thinking at that time, I can fake all the counts. I have this dress, these expensive dresses. I can put my hair according to the style which they expected. I spent money like water. I could do all this, except with the age, I don't know how, maybe I would have had to put one white powder on the face, but I would have been accepted with all these other things. But I said to myself, but I'm not one of them. I would feel the hollow in my heart. So the fear of disappointing expectations in any culture, in any society, is always keeping people away from the authenticity. Dr. Gabor Mate, have you heard about him? He lives in Vancouver, most probably, no? Like, oh yes. He said, from a young age, we are trained to try to fit in so that we will be rewarded by the society in which we were. Good boy, good girl, no? And this response, good boy, good girl, is so important for us, because only then we are loved, only then we are accepted. So from a young age, we are accustomed to try to put ourselves aside to fit in the society we are in. This is also there in the Hare Krishna movement, no? When people are born when the children are born, they are expected to do what the parents do, to go to the places the parents go. And perhaps that is natural because the children are so small. But if the time doesn't come where the child says, I want to become Krishna conscious, not because my parents want it, but because I want it, they never joined the Hare Krishna movement. All of you young people will have to come to the stage where you say, I want to be a devotee on my own. Otherwise, you will be a half-hearted devotee. You will never live to your full potential. You will always go on half speed through your life because your heart is not in it. No? So fear of being judged is also a very big thing. I remember the Alachua community. When I was there a few years ago, all the girls and boys talked about the subject, should belly buttons be visible or not? And I was asked, I said, I don't know, I've never thought about belly buttons. Is there a reason why the belly buttons should not be visible? Or is there a reason why they should be visible? I don't know. Ask someone else, you know. But what I want to say with this humorous example is the need to fit in is there in all societies. There are expectations. Some group says, yes, by all means there must be belly buttons. Others say, by no means there can be belly buttons, and you are judged according to if you please this particular group, yes or no. You have to, I guess, you have to find out from the scriptures what's the best way. Go to respected elders whom you trust and hear their reasons, and then ultimately you will have to see which path you do. So, yes, in this lecture series, which will shock some of you, I have already two people who will be shocked. My senses pick this up. I will address the subject matter of authenticity first from the Dharmic perspective. Then I will go through the lens of psychology and science, and finally I go to, and look at this from the lens or through the lens of the soul. So, my dear devotees, Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita finds it so important for all of us to find our true purpose, our true path, our dharma, he calls it dharma, that he spends altogether 4 verses on it. He usually doesn't repeat himself because it's just before a major battle and he has to put the instructions to Arjuna, you know, concise into a certain time frame. Imagine there are the two sides. You know, there's anticipation in the air, there is total, you know, there's fear perhaps in the air, there is kshatriya stamina in the air, and in the midst of it, Krishna puts everything on pause bottom and says, Arjuna, listen, I have to tell you something. And then he sings the Bhagavad Gita while the two sides look what is happening. Krishna has come with Arjuna in the middle of the battlefield, and Arjuna is looking at both sides to make up his mind where he stands in this battle. Should he at all do it, or should he leave the battlefield? No, Krishna then tells Arjuna that he must be authentic in two ways, in his dharma here in this world and in his dharma in relationship to Krishna. So he says, I forgot to say, living authentically, and now please listen very carefully, especially those who are getting shocked a little by what I say. Living authentically is not simply about doing what you want. No. It is about honoring what you are. It's your unique expression to the world. What you are here to be, not just what you can do. Each one of you, my dear devotees, as you exit the womb of your mother, have an invisible script on your forehead. This is your purpose in this life. This you have to find. This is your dharma. This is so important. You have been born again to find your dharma and act out your dharma, not to simply act whimsically. Would you like to hear Krishna's opinion on this true purpose? Yes. Good, then I will say it. I've brought my little orchestra here, and it should work. My orchestra has a little cold. It's the AC. No European likes your AC. Okay. I can understand my orchestra. Shriyan Svadharmo Viguna Paradamat Svanushtitat. Let's break this up and sing it together. Shriyan Svadharmo Viguna Paradharma Svanushtita Svadharme Nidanam Shreya Paradharmo Vayavaha.
Wow.
It's easier to focus when you have a little. So here we are for you. My dear everyone, it is far better, says Krishna, to discharge one's own dharma, even though one does it faultily, than to do another's dharma perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's dharma, for to follow another's path is dangerous. What Krishna here says is, it's actually very dangerous if you live as an imitation of someone else, because you will never, ever realize the unique purpose for which you were born. At another time in the Bhagavad Gita, he says almost the same verse, but he says, Kuvan napnoti kilbisham. When you do your dharma, even though you may make mistakes, you are not affected by the sinful reaction. In other words, you don't get any bad karma. This is how important it is to stay in one's dharma. The doctors have now found out if one always tries to be something one is not, then one will at one point explode. And before that exploding stage, you will have anxiety, you might have sleep disorders because you think, oh no, I'm doing this, but it's not what I am meant to do. No? Yes. My dear devotees, if you want, so the dharmic perspective, which is my main point, is to find out what it is you should really do in this life, and to then authentically, without trying to forget this and get rid of your dharma, putting this into activities. What Krishna says in the Gita is that in essence it is better to fail in your own dharma than to succeed in the dharma of another. This is at the core of authentic living. Your life is not meant to be a copy of anyone else. It's a particular expression of what you do, what you pray for, and so on. If our Svadharma is the path that we are meant to walk, then authenticity is how we walk that path, step by step, truth by truth, moment by moment, challenge by challenge, defeat by defeat, and victory by victory. You understand? No? Yes? Oh, it's so boring, Maharaj. Can you tell us stories? Stories soon come. Don't worry. I have here the quote. This Dr. Gabor Mate explains that children often sacrifice this authenticity in order to stay connected to caregivers like parents. No, good. They want to hear the good boy, good girl, and relatives. Now, this is a coping strategy, And it may be necessary at the beginning, you know, when we don't know anything and we could be in danger of making mistakes. But if we have the same pattern as grown-ups and look only for validation of others and not being in contact with us, we have to pay a heavy, heavy price. In psychology, this is now looking through the lens of psychology, you speak of your inner life must be in harmony with your outer life. If for too long you act in one way and you think in another way, there will be a dramatic catastrophe in your life. I just had this. We are having a very intense preaching schedule at the moment, and my assistant is not that same type which I am. He's not as, you know, he has a different mindset. He is a wonderful devotee and a wonderful artist, a wonderful kirtaniya. Some of you are listening to his kirtan spots, and he is not such a... So a few days ago, he came to me. He looked really like this, you know, hello, because he had followed what I do, and I was insensitive. I didn't see this, and I made him into a Satchinandan Swami number two. I still remember he was in the frame of the door, and he said, "I'm not feeling well." All of a sudden, he lost the grip to the door, and he fainted and fell on the floor. I still see him, and I was so shocked I could not grab him. By Krishna's mercy, he did not land on his head first. He first landed on his sitting bones. No. The cost of living someone else's life is anxiety. It can lead to depression and finally to complete burnout. What we are is good enough if we would only be it openly and act for Krishna's satisfaction with this. It's good enough the way every one of you is, but you have to live it openly and for Krishna's satisfaction. There is a curious paradox. It says, only when I accept myself just as I am, then I can change into what I can be ideally. No? Do you follow? It doesn't mean to stay on the platform where you are, but if you pretend to be someone else, you will never actually become what you are for yourself, or as they say in England, the best version of yourself. You will not become it. Becoming more authentic then means to reclaim your connection with our true self. The connection which was once sacrificed for the superficial so-called society and the safety of acceptance. Where I live, there is a house, and on this house there are letters. There's a writing on the wall or on the above the door. It says, "You can try everything to be what others want you to be, but some people will still criticize you. Then why not be who you are?" Hare Krishna. To become the person who we are, may mean to unmask ourselves. I remember when I was before I came to Krishna consciousness, my father wanted me to become a big CEO, a manager. And I met, of course, Prabhupada, and Prabhupada told me, I was able to massage him. You know, that's a wonderful story by itself. I was called to massage Srila Prabhupada because of a lie, actually. There was a need to find a masseur for Prabhupada because his masseur had become overcome by fever, and the translator or the other people in Prabhupada's entourage asked, who knows how to massage? And I said, I'm the best massage in Germany. the best masseur. So he said, okay, you can go and massage Srila Prabhupada. Then I said, and how do I do it? And he already knew he had a trouble case. He said, you just go in and ask Prabhupada. He will definitely give you the ideas how to massage. How to give him a massage. So I came in. And the moment I stood before Srila Prabhupada, I started to sweat. I looked like one of these California beautiful boys who goes out into the gym to train, and their whole shirt is full of water and has a masculine stench, you know. So Prabhupada looked at me, and he knew I had pretended to be a masseur. Prabhupada had this way of seeing right through your masks, whatever you try to pretend. Prabhupada saw through it, and he looked at me, and then he said, just do your service. He was a little fed up with me. Then I said, Prabhupada, how should I massage you? And then he said, I should start from the back and just go up like this in the back. And as I was going up, he said, harder. Then I tried to do it harder. He said, harder. Harder. Oh, my God. I leaned with all my weight on him, and he still said harder. He knew I was not a masseur, and perhaps he wanted to show me. Then he said, what do you do for service? He noticed, you're so weak, what do you do for service? I said, Prabhupada, I'm trying to translate your books. He looked at me, acha. He was very pleased, and then he asked how many pages I would do a day. So I said, I believe I said 17. And he said, really, full pages? Krishna book pages? I said, Prabhupada, that was on my best day. Usually I do 12. He wanted me to be real. He was not into hypes. But he was very satisfied from that moment on, and I was very happy to do that service. He showed me now the arms, now the hands. I remember he wanted me to pull his fingers like this. And then I said to him, to make that knack, you know? knock, knock. And I said to Prabhupada, after I tried it, I said, Prabhupada, it's not good for you. He said, who said? My mother. You know, whenever I would do like this, you know, mother said, no, no, no. My mother. So Prabhupada would not go against the authority of my mother. I remember he then let it go and accepted my mother's perspective on working on the fingers, you know. Then all this time, I prayed to Krishna, please let me massage his lotus feet, because if I can touch the lotus feet, I can become free from all my karmic reactions. I was really praying for this. And then Prabhupada threw his lotus feet, one feet, into my lap. Here, you have it. And then I was able to do that. And I still remember at the moment, during this time when I massaged his feet, I had my perhaps deepest spiritual experience. I could see how the room in which we stayed turned into just a room of light, but it was also energy. The energy, I think, which holds the whole universe together. That energy which is described by Krishna as the thread of existence. Everything rests on me like pearls that are strung on a thread. Yeah, yeah. Prabhupada wanted me in that short, intimate meeting. I think it must have taken 1.5 hours to 2 hours, the entire massage. He was telling me in that meeting, your dharma, he said, will be to be a good disciple and to be a preacher, in essence. He said it in 4 different ways, but this is the essence of what he said. Good disciple, a faithful disciple, a follower, and a preacher. In this way, and I have tried to live by this. But as I said, to come to you, it's easy when someone you trust, like Srila Prabhupada says you, this is your dharma. But every one of us will only feel happy when they live in their dharma. During this exchange, I learned Prabhupada didn't want me to pretend to be a masseur. He immediately saw through it. And he gave me the instructions which he could see. This is your dharma. Now you can see, those who travel with me, I will always preach. Even on the airplane, I will preach, unless I'm in America where people are so afraid of my dress. At least I met a few exceptions, actually. Americans, I found out that try to keep for themselves and protect their private life, perhaps because they are afraid of their president. I don't know. But you will see me everywhere talking very naturally. I think you could put me in a desert and I would, after some time, recite Bhagavad Gita shlokas to the Bedouins, you know, the people who live there. Because this is my dharma. I cannot imagine to not do it. And I do it authentically. That is, I try to do it in the way which Satchinandan Swami would express himself. Because no one believes you when you're not yourself. But it took me, my dear devotees, to do a little unmasking. In my life, a devotee whom I love, whom I respect, who was very close to Prabhupada, he left his body unfortunately, was a dear friend. He wanted me to become a GBC of Germany. And I told him, Maharaji, better not, you know. I have Prabhupada told me what I should do, and I feel I'm also not a manager. You know, I'm not able to do this, and so on. So sometimes we may have to shed on our way to our authentic self our masks, our the expectations. I want to end and then ask you for questions with a little story on authenticity, which I have told many times and I like it very much. It's the princess story. There was once a girl who turned, I believe, 18, and she was a princess. She was the daughter of the king. So on her 18th birthday, the last dance she did was not a kirtan dance. She was doing a waltz with the prince of the neighboring country. And people thought, very good, this will become an alliance. If the two marry, we will be one country and very powerful. So on that night of her full success, so to say, the society expected her. She's the daughter of the king. She must become the next queen. On that night, when she wanted to enter her bed, go into her bed, she heard a voice, "Let me free. Finally, let me free." She immediately jumped out of bed. She thought, there's someone in my bedroom. This is dramatic. And she went to where she kept her dagger to defend herself and asked in panic, "Who are you who says, let me free?" And the answer came, "I'm yourself." "Nonsense," she said, "I'm myself. There is no second self." "No, princess, what you think is yourself is nothing else than one of your many, many masks. Unless you let me free and live the life I'm meant to live, I will disturb you every night and you won't sleep. So the princess was bewildered. Imagine this happens, a second voice in your head who says, let me free, let me be. This is dramatic. I mean, so she went she ran out of the castle, she went into the park, and there in the park itself, she fell asleep. In the morning, she was awakened by the sun, which kissed her face, and a little moment later, a saint came out of the bush, the underbush, and went to her and said, "Oh, have you heard the voice?" "What voice?" she said. "The voice which said that you should be yourself, and you should come out of the prison of others' expectations in you." "Yes, I have heard it." "So, okay, then we have work to do. Come with me, princess." And the saintly person brought her to a lake and said, "Look into your face now. Is this you?" She looked inside the water and saw the mirrored reflection of her face. And you know what she saw? In the first moment, she saw a beautiful face. But then she saw an anxious face. So the saint took his hand like this, took the anxious face like a piece of paper out of the lake, and got rid of it. Then the next moment, she looked again into the water, and she saw this time a jealous face. And in this way, there were so many faces which they saw, which was not her true brilliant self. And they got 32 faces, I think, on the day, first day out of the lake. They worked for an entire month. And then finally, she was her natural self. She was pure. She had done Chetoda Panamajanam, you know, and, got the dust from the mirror of her soul, and she began to live her authentic life. She became an enlightened princess who was living by the Gita and taught the Bhagavad Gita. And when she married, eventually became a queen, she stayed on the spiritual path even as a queen. This is the gift of an unmasked life. The spiritual principle, satya, or truthfulness, does not just mean to say the truth to others. It means also to no longer lie about yourself. Truth is not always comfortable, but it is always freeing. It calls us to become radically honest and live our true, authentic path. When you shed your mask, what remains? Sometimes people think, when nothing remains, yes, I recognize I'm not in connection with myself. Yes, I recognize. But if I take everything away, will anything remain? Yes, you will see that all those qualities which you have dimmed will become brighter. You turn the way the light the other way around. And this will, and you will return back to the into your life more fully, more free from misery and anxiety. Yes, this is what I wanted to say at this stage. Could you follow me? You were for sure very silent. Not like in the hall, where I tried to say something against a storm of voices. But this could mean you are half asleep, you know. Could you follow?
Yes.
Do you see the need?
Yes.
I want to now address just briefly the other voices, so to say. They say, well, in the beginning we don't know anything and therefore we have to follow authorities. No? Have you heard this? What do you think about this? I think it is very true. If you don't know the path over a difficult in a difficult mountain, you asked and they say, go this way, this is a safe path. Following authorities is necessary for your own spiritual welfare and also for the welfare of society. But within that, you will have to find your own path. I remember there are many stories of Prabhupada on this. But once he said, oh, the sunshine is very, very nice. Yes, Prabhupada. Oh, this walkway is so nice. Yes, Prabhupada. Our movement is so nice. Yes, Prabhupada. And then Prabhupada said, and this, I don't know what it was, but this branch is very nice. It was something. He didn't say this. It was very irrelevant, as if he would say this apple that is eaten, you know, and lies on the path is very nice. And we all went, yes, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada stopped. How can this half-eaten apple be very nice? When will you ever learn to think for yourself? Prabhupada was like this. He was training us. And he would surprise us. No, ultimately, the Krishna consciousness movement is meant to bring people who are independently thoughtful and capable of doing all kinds of activities. No, Prabhupada said, this is in a letter to Karandana. Yes, in the beginning we need training. Training is important. What would we be without, or what would our children in Alachua be without Jai Sri Radha's school? A little wild girl. Boys and girls are there, or only girls?
Yeah, boys and girls.
Boys and girls.
They're all
in. Wild, you would be wild boys and wild girls. But as you go, it's not a but, and as you go on, you should find your dharma and ultimately express it in the way you can express. Otherwise, you will faint like my assistant. Hare Krishna. There's a dissonance. Good. Now let us see. Where are we? Oh, we are not so late. We have one and a half hours. I will start. Is this Rukmini Chandrika? Really? We will continue with the gifts of an authentic life tomorrow, what you get when you live an authentic life. And then I will actually, my dear devotees, make a workshop with you. You won't believe it. It's really a workshop that makes you work. I think we will have to put the the air conditioning on super cold, because you will be very sweating. It's very fun workshop, no? We are in the fun country. Yes, Florida, I read when I left the airport. Fun country. So there will be a fun exercise. So let me see. Are there any questions for now? Yeah, but you are not a child. Should we see if the young people first have... Your good name, Prabhu?
Siddharth.
Siddharth. Didn't we have a Siddharth? A different Siddharth we had.
That's a different Siddharth.
Yeah, Siddharth.
Maharaj, I have a question regarding authentic self. Most of the examples that you gave, or examples that I've heard of people finding their dharma regarding more towards preaching or something closer to preaching. Do you have any examples or experiences of people finding some more unique dharmas, or people some calling that was something unique?
In ISKCON, we used to joke, there are only three things: preacher, dishwasher, and manager. He manages the preachers and the dishwashers. Inside joke. Prabhupada, when he left this world, must have been aware of this, and he therefore wanted to institute Varnashram Dharma very much, where the vast spectrum of all human activities It's just categorized in four categories, but it is absolutely there. Yeah, I mean, I can see Rukmini Chandrika Alachua. Rukmini, would you be so kind to go back to the first slide? Yes, here. She makes such paintings, you know. I have never seen in the world paintings like this, these human beings. It's Rukmini's way to express herself. I think she found it, but it was not easy. In the beginning, no one was interested and thought this is a scribbling of a nervous lady, you know. Or something like that, yeah. I remember when Ram Govinda said, when you had this workshop with your father, now draw your emotions. And Raranjivan, the absolute manager, and draw the emotions. What's that? That's my daughter. What daughter did I bring into this world? Okay. Otherwise, I get the sauce. I better draw my emotions now. So it's your authentic way to express yourself. So there are many, many ways. There are more roots than, and I guess Manoram would know many more by now than just dishwasher, preacher in an unspecific way. And what else? Manager. There are more. We have more now, no? It was in the early days. Yes. Yes. To find this type, you know, Dharma is composed of three legs. No, this table is of four legs. The Dharma table is on three legs. It's Swadharma, what you do with your present talents. The way you are now, your humanness. Then there is Lokadharma, that's how you act towards others. The first Swadharma is how you act in relationship to how you are now. The second Dharma is ethical dealing, how you act in relationship to others. And then there's a third leg of Dharma, how you act in relationship to God, to Krishna. This is there. Now the most difficult part of it, I feel, is to find out our human purpose, because we are so mixed up in Kali Yuga. We are not pure bred, you know. In old times, people who had their Dharma would marry in their Dharma, and their children would be like this. They would have the genetic codex of a baker, for instance, and so on, because the bakers would marry bakers. But now we are mixed, and the baker girl will marry the president boy. You know, that we are not single-minded. So to find our Dharma, there is a Dharma. Yeah, I gave once a whole workshop in the Pandavasena, finding one's Dharma. It means really to find, look out where your talent is. And very often, you can ask a simple question: what would I do when everything I have to do would be fulfilled? What would I do then? And that is usually a good way to approach your Dharma. If you are interested to find out your Swadharma, this first type of Dharma, what I can do is I have a questionnaire that was worked out by Mahatma Prabhu. I can give this to Ram Govinda and he can make a snapshot, and then you can download the snapshot from it. It very much helps also Siddhartha to have a talk with your friends who really know you and a few seniors who know and love you. You know, they can mirror your Dharma back to you. They can see it. We usually cannot see it because of conflicting voices in us. Mm-hmm. Yes, Siddhartha. Thank you, Siddhartha. Yes, I see one hand. Yes. What is your good name, please?
My name is Jitendriya.
Jitendriya Prabhu.
Thank you so much for this lecture, taking time out of your very busy schedule to come talk with us today. I had one quick question. You mentioned that being your authentic self is sometimes more than just what you want. And many times when we think about how we want to approach the future, that's the only thing that comes to mind, what we want. Could you please expand more on what that means?
Yeah, it's what you truly are. What is your primal core? I wanted to be like the Rolling Stones, but I found out I'm a terrible musician. I don't like this sinful life, you know. So, but I had a desire like this, Jitendriya, it's good to express this maturely, but because we don't always are mature, it's good to. In old times, you would have the council of the brahmanas. Five brahmanas would get together. They would look at you, look at your chart, and so on. And then they would be able to give suggestions. And the suggestions that would spark an interest in you would usually be done. We have in Europe, we have a devotee who there were so many ideas, but he decided, I'm a woodworker, and he tried it, and it was an immediate success. Woodworker. We had a blacksmith. These are young devotees, your age. A blacksmith, and we have someone who made a prasad business with sweets that have no sugar in it. No one thought that's successful, but it has maple syrup, and now it's the biggest business of the universe, you know. So, there are many ways. My tip to you, Jitendriya, is pray to Krishna. Do you believe in Krishna? Oh, and you believe in praying? If the Lord sees that you are sincere, he will give you an answer. I hope I have answered your question. Now, my dear devotees, we have an indoor poet amongst us. A poet who is here with us. He is normally in Hollywood and is directing movies, but we have asked him to give us a poetic rendition. Can you please come in, because he is a poet. Please, a massive round of applause for Abhinav Thakur. And one thing else. Bring one hand in the sky and bring the other hand in the sky and shout, Hari Bol! I'm learning. So let me give this to you. Was it all right with the one hand in the...
Marge is being extremely kind. When Marge was in London, I would MC the programs or host, and that was my tactic to get people's hands in the air and say Hari Bol. So Marge is reminding me how stupid that was. But thank you, Marge. So one thing that we did, or that I did, was come up with a recap summary of what Marge just spoke about in the form of poetry / spoken words / just words. So be loose with it. Don't have high expectations. But this is just something to give you a bit of a reminder of what we just spoke about. Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, that's... Yeah. Are we ready?
Yes.
Okay, amazing, great. Okay, so we take you on a journey to find yourself, live a life full of authenticity. In a world that is constantly making you something else, live your own with simplicity. We need to know ourselves fully. We are looking for something very sacred and primal. Ultimately, it's a longing of the heart and soul, bringing our eternal spiritual revival. Address that hollowness inside that yearns to be fulfilled, and fulfill that prime necessity. Do not confuse that for a luxury, but follow your unique path, bring your contribution to society. To be yourself in the world is the greatest accomplishment. And this is not just a statement that's soppy, because as the great Keshav Maharaj constantly says, you are born as an original person, so why die as a copy? So what keeps us away from this authentic path? The first part is lack of knowing who you are, then the idea of disappointing expectations, and finally fear of being judged from near or far. Ask yourself a difficult question. When you come together with your friends, what do you often speak about? Should saris be showing belly button? Could the sleeves be rolled up and my muscles out? Living authentically is not about doing what you want, but honoring what you are. The reason for why you are in this world, the direction of your own North Star. It's better to do one's own duty imperfectly than to perform someone else's imperfectly. Better to fail at your own dharma than to succeed at the dharma of another. So live your own life to the fullest, not one prescribed by your friend, father, or mother. Of course, listen to your parents. We're not saying don't do that. We're just saying live your own authentic life, bring your heart and mind on track. The cost of living someone else's life is anxiety, depression, and fitting into this society. Losing yourself and using up your piety. We need our own individuality and variety. We don't all need to be like the beautiful California boys, basking in the muscular stench of the gym. Guru and Krishna will see through all of your masks, so be honestly transparent and avoid doing things on a whim. So you might look around and copy a Kirtan melody, copy a hairstyle and copy some fashion. Try and find what's authentic for you, and you'll find you'll chase that with extreme passion. Take this weekend to reflect on what it means to be truly you. Find that path and let it awaken. The only thing that will truly fulfill you is being yourself, because everyone else is taken. Thank you so much.
Good. Good, good, good. So, tomorrow I will try to bring all of this together by taking you through a very joy-filled but thought-provoking journey that will help you to find your authentic path. We will meet again at 3 o'clock at the same place. We will have more authentic pictures. It was a pleasure to be with you. All the best for you, and Hare Krishna. Amen.